Back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608-290-10-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, good morning, and here we are in the studio. I'm Tom King, and joined by Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, to take your financial questions. A reminder, programming note, no polka shows today. The Badgers are back. Badger football begins with Badger game day starting at 9 o'clock this morning. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff from Camp Randall as they take on the University of Massachusetts. Good morning, Merle.
Well, good morning. How is everybody?
Doing great, and the phone lines are open, 715-845-2155. And I guess
I noticed something.
Yes?
Based upon which convenience store I'm leaving, I'm somewhere around 6 or 6 foot 1.
Uh-huh.
And this chair has got to be on the floor.
Sure,
I'm looking up at you.
A little short there, huh?
Okay. Well, it is.
All right, well, I guess let's start here. A story I saw on the Market Watch, because obviously the news out of the market yesterday wasn't great. The Dow Jones Industrial is on track for its worst month since May of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
The S&P 500 index looking at its worst August in 2 years. And some are suggesting September may not get much better, as that's traditionally the worst month of the year for those indices. And the suggestion is the stock market is overweight and that folks need to go on a diet here with their equities. Some are suggesting, no, stay the course. And I'll give you some reasons why this guy is suggesting that. But what's your take on the market where it stands now? Is it overweight? Do you need to take a or go on a diet with your stock portfolio at this point?
You know, this is my personal opinion, but my personal opinion is that the marketplace is not overweight. The marketplace will probably go sideways for the course of the year just because of the nature of how much we've run up. But if we take a look at the economic data that popped out this past week, it was okay. I mean, there really wasn't anything. The GDP was, of course, revised up to 2.5%. We had the Chicago PMI, which is their, Chicago Index, Manufacturers Index. It was up, so as Producers Index was up. We had consumer spending, which was up, not as much as people thought, but it was up. So the economic data wasn't bad, nothing that would tell us that we need to drop off like this. Now, the war of Syria, or potential war, or us bombing Syria, is really having a heavy weight on the rest of the marketplace. And as much as I have some opinions on that, that appears to be the driving issue that's going through things. The other part of that is that there's a lot of Americans that are realizing that, hey, we're paying a lot more tax in here. We didn't vote for this stuff. And all of a sudden, they're paying a lot more tax. And all this stuff is just going to have a little bit of a rumbling going through. But the economy is still continuing to move forward. So nothing that would drop it off. So we look at why is 15,000 or near 15,000 where we're at right now, some 14,008. Why is that not overpriced where it was 14,400 was overpriced in 2007? And during 2007 now to 2013, companies have gotten bigger. They have a bigger cash position. Their sales have gone up. So the price of the stock right now is not overpriced compared to where it was in 2008 at 14,400. So with it, the marketplace should continue to move forward. Matter of fact, I was reading in here, and I don't have the article in front of me, so pardon me, I'm going out from memory. But somebody had said by 2016, we should see the stock market at about 20,000 on the Dow. I don't know. But it doesn't seem bad to go out 3 years, 35%, or 3.5 years, 35%. So.
Well, this guy who's writing this story, Andrew Garthwaite, who's an analyst for Credit Suisse, has seven or eight different reasons why he thinks the market is not overweight. And some of those you just mentioned, the annual GDP is set to rise for the first time in 3 years, and some of the other growth numbers. One of the things he suggested is that equities are still the cheapest of the major asset classes,
mm-hmm.
and that the rule of 20 is consistent. The S&P 500 at 1900 by the end of 2014 is what they're suggesting. Tell us what the rule of 20 is.
I have no bleeding clue.
All right, the rule of 20. Equities to be fairly valued, the average P.E. ratio plus the inflation rate has to be around 20. Does that sound reasonable? And that's the way that...
We work with P.E. ratios all the time. I've never heard about this rule of 20, so that must be something that just popped up that's relatively new. But, you know, what we were saying before, and I was trying to lightly say it, is that the price at 14,400 in 2008 for the Dow... was a high price comparative to 15,000 today. And the reasoning for that is because of the stock price and so forth, and that's the price-to-earnings ratio in which they mentioned.
All right, 715-845-2155 is the number to call. What have you been hearing from your clients as they come in and maybe get their fall look at things? I mean, you take a look at their portfolios usually, what, two or three times a year at least?
A couple times a year generally, yeah. We get together and do reviews. And the main thing is people are asking the question is, you know, is this 2008 all over again or 2007 where we've seen the stock market price, you know, some dropping some thousand points? And the answer to that is no. There's really nothing that's of that nature that's fundamentally dropping. You know, if we think about it, folks, the last, you know, multiple summers, in fact, Tom even pulled it up here, and I think it was 32 years, Tom, if you remember right, in a row the market dropped in the summertime. Well, at the end of June, we had to drop some 4 or 5%, then it bounced back up the next week. And I don't know if that was necessarily it. Thought maybe so. But remember, it had a sustained drop through most summers. And I think we're having it right now. I think Syria became finally the catalyst for some people to pull some money out of the marketplace. You know, right now we're having a record lack of volume inside of the stock market throughout the course of this past week, which means there's so many people on vacation right now that there's just skeleton crews doing trades. So even though the market is down, there's really not a lot of bodies there or a lot of money really trading back and forth. So for the numbers that are there and the shares that are trading, yes, it's down, but it's not really creating an overall loss by any major standard of wealth, because there's just not a lot of bodies there that are really trading at the moment. So I think this tends to be more of the summer drop, in my opinion, brought on by the fear of Syria versus anything else. And again, this is just my opinion that I'm popping out there. But, you know, we have to take a look at Syria in a couple ways. There was an article that popped out. It was on the top 10 list with Market Watch this morning. It said, what happens when we go in and start bombing places? What happens with the stock market? And out of the nine instances that they created, seven of them, the marketplace was up. A few of them, the marketplace was down. Eventually went up, but I think that's more time versus the instance. That being the case, I don't know if the stock market goes up or not during this period of time. To me, it seems like we're more of a policing action versus anything that's going to cause any major effects to us. I don't know.
The market going up in those situations, is that the old war is good for business routine? As much as we hate to think about it?
I hate to, you know, in many years ago, remember, we had somebody actually call us on that. I can actually remember where I was sitting. I was in Scottsdale at the time. We were doing that by radio show. But, you know, that might have something to do with it. But in here, you know, if we're launching a couple of missiles, that's really not going to have much of a dramatic effect from an economic standpoint. It's not going to move the GDP, in my opinion. You know, Iraq and Afghanistan and some of those things certainly would have. And so there I would be able to make an argument with you that, okay, so, you know, we have to replace all those parts. That's going to have an economic impact to the marketplace and that whole bit. And I don't know if it's so much that or if it's popular opinion, okay, we're going to get these dirty rascals, we're going to get this done. So let me throw my take in this for whatever it's worth. And I think the marketplace just used this as a catalyst to say, okay, we're going to get out, and hoping that we don't have a war on another front. Not only are we still finishing up with Afghanistan and Iraq, but now we're going to start in Syria because they're in the middle of a civil war. Now I need to take a couple of steps back, Tom, and here's where you appropriately go, do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay. So a long time ago, I was sitting and listening to a speaker in Aspen, and this had to be somewhere around 1998, 1999. And the speaker actually was, at that particular point in time, this old economist that came out anew once again by the name of Larry Kudlow. So if you ever heard him on the Kudlow Reports. So he was talking at that particular point in time and said, we don't really have to worry about China as far as them doing different things and their communism spreading around the rest of the world. He said, because I think the Internet is going to do that for us. He said the Internet is going to be so big that the people around China are going to see what the rest of the world is having, and eventually they'll want more wages, and they'll want more light bulbs, and they'll want buildings, and they'll want cars, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? And he was right on the head for that. His timing might have been a little bit off, but, you know, we're 15 years later. He thought it might happen sooner. I think our best course of action, in my opinion at least, with Syria, would be is to send our inspectors in there and use the Internet and show the whole world what they did and how many missiles and where they bombed and who they hit and the people who were sick and, you know, broadcasting the people who are out there that are feeling bad and ill and poor. And I think that itself, giving the information out there, becomes enough of a deterrent, and then we don't look like the policing action and start having problems again. Just my thought, my opinion on that. So Syria itself is the reason or the catalyst for the market dropping down. That, too, will have itself be better. The polling that's out there is that the American people want the government to decide rather than the president. I'm sorry, Congress to decide, right, what we do rather than the president. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it looks like the whatever action is taken is going to be much less than what was first thought about because of public opinion, A. B, you've got NATO and the Brits backing away from any type of action. Who would have thought that the French would be more bloodthirsty than the Brits when it came to something like this? But apparently that's the case in this point in time. But we'll talk about that if you want, or anything else that's on your mind. If you have something of a personal nature with your portfolio, today's the day to get it answered. Give us a call. Maybe your retirement, you have some questions about that. That's why we're here. Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates. I'm Tom King. Back in a moment here on WSAU.
Performance Bicycle, the nation's largest cycling retailer, has created an event you have to see to believe. Now through Labor Day, it's Performance Bicycle's Super Summer Sale at PerformanceBike.com. One-time special buys, inventory blowouts, end-of-season closeouts. Find savings of 40, 50, up to 60% off. Plus, category after category of top name gear reduced for this online event. And all bikes on sale, many at the lowest prices of the summer. It's Performance Bicycle's Super Summer Sale at PerformanceBike.com. Now through Labor Day.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Before we do it, please accept our sincerest apologies, for we are about to burst your bubble. Here goes.
Snow continues to come
wet
down.
Spot, white out conditions.
Blizzard-like conditions.
Upwards of 12 inches.
Before you know it,
winter will be here.
Snowmageddon.
Know that your severe weather station will also be here.
Stay indoors.
Central Wisconsin's severe weather station. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, taking your questions, 715-845-2155. There's an interesting story on MarketWatch today about Warren Buffett and his technique, one of his techniques anyway. And they start the discussion by talking about the glitch in the NASDAQ, which happened, what, 2 weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Last week?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago? August 22nd, I guess.
Glitchmageddon.
Yeah. When NASDAQ shut down for a few hours, and a lot of people were upset by that. But Warren Buffett apparently had said at one point in time that he invests on the assumption that they could close the market the next day and not reopen it for 5 years. We've talked about Warren Buffett mm-hmm. investing for the long term, looking ahead even 10 years, 15, 20 years
yeah.
with some of his investments. But now he says if the market would close tomorrow for some reason, he would be fine, as far as he goes with his investments, to sit for 5 years and really not be able to do anything with them. We are so involved now with our smartphones, with our computers, with instant online everything. It would be very hard for people to not have their fingers on the trigger here for 5 years, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, I think it really would. And this article is actually pretty good. We're talking about an article called Invest with Warren Buffett's 5-Year Plan by Chuck Jaffe. And inside of this article, and I recommend reading it if you're looking for a little bit of a read, because it'll make you think, especially about some of the things that are happening today. You know, inside of the article, Warren Buffett has said many times, and there's books, folks, about quotes that Warren Buffett has made, and one of them, he says, if I don't want to own a stock for 10 years, I don't want to own it at all. He was asked in this article, for this article, how long do you like, what's your ideal length of time you want to hold an investment? He says, well, forever, for a lifetime. Though that doesn't happen, it appears, though, between 4.5 years to 5 years when he tends to change an investment in case something happens. But nonetheless, that looks at the long-term frame in which he is investing. You know, as Tom has said, and one of the things they talk about in this article is if you want to plan for your portfolio to essentially be that old set-it-and-forget-it type of mentality, you have to make sure that you have good, solid investments, and you have to stop looking at the thing. Now, we have in our office, our clients have the ability to look at their investments on a daily basis. So they can hop into the computer, wherever they are in the world, as long as they have the internet and it's secure, they can look at their investments. But I always tell them, only do it, you know, once every few months, just to take a look at it.
Not like checking your Facebook page every 10 minutes.
If you look at it every day, you're just going to have a heart attack and die. Then you won't need the money. You know, that's the old thing. And so in here, it's much the same way. Don't look at your stuff. And, you know, if you want to bulletproof your portfolio, make it to set it and forget it, stop looking at it online. Don't look at your portfolio. Get rid of your phone apps. Get rid of things that are derivatives. And go back to things that are quality investments. Let me give you an example. There are mutual funds that are out there that are high-quality mutual funds. And what they do is really complex stuff, Tom. They buy stock. That's it. They just buy stock. They buy good quality investments that let go. Or an index fund. What do? Well, they just buy some stock. Well, there's bond funds that are index funds. They just buy stock, and other ones that just buy bonds. And step aside from all the stuff that has all the fancy things, such as derivatives and ETFs and low duration. I'm sorry, not low duration, but, where did my brain go? Absolute return funds and absolute funds and these various different types of funds. You know, step away from them. Don't use them. Now, that being said, we use them in our office. Why? Because I look at this stuff every single day. But, step away from that stuff so you make your life just pure and you're buying stuff that's good quality going forward. So you can either run the company by yourself or you can let, for example, the Warren Buffetts of the world run it for you and let their fund or their Berkshire Hathaway group, for example, and I'm not recommending Berkshire Hathaway, I'm using this as an example. Well, Warren Buffett is running this and you can let that do it. You can set it and forget it and know that over a long period of time they're going to do a pretty consistent job for you.
You could almost always recommend Berkshire Hathaway, and as long as you could afford to buy it.
Boy, the Berkshire Bees are cheaper. I think I don't even know what their prices are. I would have to look at that. But, in here, you can buy stuff that is more consistent and more pure to the investment form, and that's what they're getting at. If you want to look at a portfolio for a long term, buy high-quality investments and let them go. Now, if I throw some names out here, investments, and I do the same thing inside of this article, and I'm going to use a couple of names that they did. They said Tesla Motors. Where's Tesla Motors going to be in 10 years, Tom? And the answer would be?
Who knows?
Exactly. If I said, where's Campbell's Soup going to be in 10 years, you would probably say?
Pretty much where they are.
Probably making soup, right. Yeah. You know. So what's the difference of Campbell's Soup? Are they going to be having huge growth in stock? No, but they're going to have growth in stock. And the other part is they're going to have dividends. They're going to be creating that cash flow. So that's some of the difference.
Do you risk missing out on market runs like the technology? Call it a bubble, if you will. Because obviously, if you do it this way, you're going to miss out on when it falls apart as well. But you're going to miss up that big run-up like we saw in technology.
There's that certain that potential. One of the things is you have to look at it and say, okay, if it's something I'm going to watch and I'm going to spend my time on and I'm going to research it and watch it on a frequent basis, then that's the stuff to invest in. I'm not saying not to. I'm giving the spirit of this article, folks. You know, if we take a look at it, they're using LinkedIn. So if we say, well, where's LinkedIn going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? Who knows? Who has any idea with that? You know, this is going back to MySpace. Where's MySpace going to be? Well, it's pretty much done. But at the same time, if we go to and say, well, where's Microsoft going to be in 5 years? Well, they're probably still going to be around. Where's Apple going to be? So there you get some of the technology inside of it, but they're companies that are solid, proven, Oracle, and those are companies that are larger, longer, long term. If you want to horse around with a couple of the smaller companies and get some of the technology, yes, but to bulletproof your portfolio so that the market closes for 1 year, 1 day, 5 years, those are the companies you want, is the large, well-proven companies that make profit, pay dividends, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the spirit of the article that they have here, and really the things we look at. So now, do we miss the new startups if we do that? Absolutely we do, because we're not going to be there watching the market every day and reading about the new startups. We would have missed the Googles, Tom, using that type of an article, because we wouldn't have been there. We would have been vacationing someplace in Tahiti.
Okay, enjoying your
life. We would have missed Facebook in the run-up of Facebook. Yeah. But at the same time, we would be there collecting our income. You know, when we're retired, especially, in my opinion, or if we're so busy in other things we want to invest, it's not necessarily about making the best rate of return for the shortest period of time. It's about making a great rate of return and keeping what we earn, tax planning, over a long period of time. So I'm not worried about making 17% per year if I know that making a 17% for 1 or 2 years, I'm going to get a minus 20 in there someplace. I would rather make the 8 or 9% a year, knowing that I'm going to do that every year for five, I end up farther ahead. That's the basics of diversification and buying high-quality investments.
715-845-2155. We need to take a break for some news. We'll come back with more. The phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
News. Now, from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. The team of UN inspectors who were looking into the alleged chemical weapons attack in Syria are at Beirut International Airport. The group crossed the border from Syria to Lebanon earlier today. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says their final report may not be ready for a couple of weeks. Reports differ on whether former South African President Nelson Mandela has been released from the hospital. South Africa's presidency now says the reports of his discharge are incorrect. Several news outlets around the world had earlier reported Mandela had returned to his Johannesburg home. A new bill could shut down public access to forest lands near a controversial iron mining site in northern Wisconsin. State Senator Tom Tiffany, the bill's author, says protesters of the proposed Gogebic mine in northern Wisconsin have taken advantage of the managed forest land designation. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Angels 5-0 last night. They'll play again tonight. You can hear the game right here, pregame show at 5:35. Badger football today. Badger game day from Camp Randall begins at 9 o'clock this morning. The Packers have worked out internet sensation Kickalicious. His name is Harvard Ruglund. He's from Norway. The 28-year-old was recently released by the Detroit Lions and says he's thankful for the opportunity. And the high school football scoreboard from last night can be found on our website at WSAU.com. How about holiday weather? Well, for today, sunny to partly cloudy. We're looking for less humid conditions. A high getting up around 80. Tonight, increasing clouds, some scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, and back to humid again, a low of 63. Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then gradually diminishing during the afternoon, turning less humid later on, a high around 80. And then for Monday, partly cloudy, much cooler and less humid, breezy conditions as well, a high of 68. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
From what's happening here,
you do not get to keep the insurance that you like.
Call that a phony scandal.
Voters who may not even have a photo ID.
To what's happening over there.
Hundreds were killed.
Need to have a voice in Egypt's future.
Threats everywhere in the Middle East against the United States.
Understanding the events that affect your everyday.
And you have given me so much information.
Know your world at the top and bottom of the hour.
Good for the world.
On WSAU and WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions voiced on this show are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities and investment advisory services offered through HBEC Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies. And, folks, this program was intended for Wisconsin residents only.
Oh, come on. When's the last time you said something that didn't come true?
Let me think. Bonds. No, that did come true.
All right. 715-845-2155, the number to call here if you have a question for Merle. What else is on your tablet?
Well, we have a few things. And, again, folks, this program is for you to answer whatever questions you may have. Otherwise, you're getting nothing but the bantering from Tom and I. So in here, 43% of Americans pay zero federal income tax. The article pops up by Janelle. I'm just going to say Marte and make it sound pretty good, M-A-R-T-E, again, for MarketWatch.com article. She wrote for that. You know, the record actually happened to be 47% of Americans in 2010 did not pay any effective federal income tax. Now, that being said, and the article certainly does talk about this, in the sense that, yes, we paid in federal income taxes as we continued to work and put our money away for jobs. The money came off for taxes. But when it came time to actually filling out the tax form, we got a return or some sort of a credit or something came back, thereby being that we got our money back or paying 0% income tax is how the article reads. Again, this is not my words. This is what's happening inside of the article. So what's interesting is because of not only the rise of income taxes, but also because we're going to work and making more money, we went down from 47 to 43% of Americans are paying taxes. Interesting enough, as we all know, the higher end you are on the scale from an income standpoint, your taxes went up even further. They do go on inside of this article to talk about how there are people who make the uber wealth that are having the ability to have bigger write-offs, but at least nicely they said it was in dollars, not in percentage, bigger write-offs than the rest of the people. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting is of the 43%, 10% of course, are elderly folks, people who, that age, they don't have any tax, and 14% of those are families who pay no income taxes or payroll taxes because their income is just too low, less than the means, of course, 3% less than $20,000, 1% just, of course, don't have any income at all. It's coming down.
And when that comes out, when something like that comes out, I think the one thing that some people hear is that they're paying no taxes. Well, they are paying taxes, sales taxes. They're
right.
Paying.
And the article goes on to say that, they're paying sales taxes if they have a home. They're paying certainly income taxes and certainly federal excise taxes if they have gas, tobacco, alcohol, that type of stuff, airfare. So that sort of stuff comes into it, but they're talking about here mainly is federal income taxes. Wherever state they are in, notwithstanding.
All right, we talked about Syria earlier, and of course the Middle East is still a tender, a powder keg, still could go up at any time, not only in Syria. I mean, we've forgotten with all of the stuff in Syria, we've forgotten about what's going on in Egypt and other places, it seems like. But
still the Middle East, right around the corner.
Right. So let's talk about oil a little bit, and you throw in oil, you throw in gold as well. What's all of the situation in the Middle East, all of this weirdness going on, going to be doing to the price of oil? We've seen it go up a little bit. Some analysts are suggesting, though, that this rise in the price of crude is not going to be reflected as much at the pump as some other rises have been for whatever reason. But I guess, commodities. We talked a little bit about it last week, but gold, oil, things like that, what are you looking at?
Well, you know, here's something normal. We just had the worst month since May 2012 as far as the Dow goes, and so that's fine. I mean, it happens. But because of the uncertainty with Syria and things that are happening from that nature, we saw money go back to things that are defensive positions. And the two main things that are defensive positions are gold and oil. We've said it a million times on this program over the last number of years. Tom, do you realize that next year is going to be our 15th year, by the way?
Wow. That just means we're getting old.
We're going to have some sort of a celebration. Folks, we're going to do this on a cruise ship. Join us. We're going to do the show on a cruise ship for our 15th year show. Okay. Sounds fun, by the way. I wonder, we'd probably get like three people to come on a cruise with us. Okay, it's just going to be a pontoon boat on Lake Wausau.
There you go. But, yeah, that may be something, yeah.
Except it'd be in March. Anyway, I completely lost my spot where I was talking about. But where was I talking about?
You were talking about oil and
gold. Oh, yeah, here we go. So we happened to both oil and gold throughout the course of this past couple of weeks. Have run in price because those are the traditional defensive maneuvers when things start going awry inside of the marketplace. In fact, if we take a look at the last month, gold was up some 6% throughout the course of this past month, exactly as you would have predicted it to be as things started having turmoil. Now, is that the long-term position for it to be? You know, I think gold certainly has a run-up because it's come down so quick. But in here, I don't know if it holds through because as the markets start opening back up again, we'll see the money start going back to the markets, and Syria, too, will settle itself out one way or another. We see the markets and the things start coming back as we expect them to be. Now, Tom, there's an article out there by Matthew Heimer, H-E-I-M-E-R, talking about the boomers may benefit most by Obamacare. Now, you know, I have this conversation with colleagues of mine. Is Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, if you will, is it actually going to take place? Is it actually going to happen? And I don't know that. You know, the budget that's coming up, we have to get done. You know, we're having people saying they're not going to fund sections of Obamacare. I don't know if it's actually going to occur or not. I'm not sure how it's going to happen or whatever. I know certainly health care is never going to be the same as a result of it. Some for the better, that I must admit. Some maybe for the worse. But they're talking about that if your income from a household is from $60,000 down as a joint house couple, I'm sorry, $62,000 for a couple, you're probably going to be eligible for subsidies, especially as you start getting closer to the Medicare types of ages. And so with that, they're looking at the possibility is that you're going to end up having a drop in cost from where you're at right now. The unfortunate part about this is if you're a young person and your income is $25,000 or more, you're probably going to end up paying more for health insurance because, of course, to offset the expenses for the older folks, you're going to end up having to skew those prices or those premiums down to the younger people, and that appears to be what's going to occur here along the way. Now, what's interesting is they keep talking about the the pools and so forth that are going to be out there that we can pick from. One of them, the cheapest available plan in Ohio's exchange was a $6,000 deductible. So in here, I think one of the ways that it's going to be cheaper is, folks, you're going to be paying out of your pocket for a bigger deductible. It appears, though, that $5,000, $6,000, I've seen some that were $10,000 as far as proposal goes, you're going to end up having to pay that out of pocket, so you're always going to have a pool of cash sitting around.
Using the insurance as a last resort for huge medical problems as opposed to every little ache and pain and hangnail you have. Let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Hey, Tom. This is John.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys have been talking about a lot of things, so I'll see what I can get into. When you're talking about the oil, with Iraq getting control of their oil again and not having it done through the UN, will that bring the prices down or at least maybe more oil into the market?
Yeah, I'm not really sure because Iraq has been having a steady ramp up of oil along the way over the course of the last several years, and I think they're selling it out into the open marketplace now. I don't know if Iraq's oil is going to have a huge dramatic effect on the overall worldwide marketplace because the bulk of the new oil that's coming out of Canada and the U.S. Into the marketplace. So I don't know if Iraq's going to have that much of a sway one way or another on the world markets, but it's certainly going to make a big difference in their country from a cash flow standpoint.
Well, would that help balance out their cash? I mean, their currency has been fluctuating up and down.
Sure.
But once they get more control or final control of their oil, will that also balance out their currency levels?
Well, I certainly think that as you have better cash flow and better income coming into a country, it stabilizes out your economy, your bills, et cetera, and thereby it would stabilize out their currency. I would certainly think it would, yeah.
All right. Thanks
for the call. Appreciate it.
715-845-2155,
the number to call here. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call here. We've got some time left. Don't forget Badger football coming your way. Badger game day beginning at 9 o'clock this morning. And the kickoff set for 11 as they take on UMass down at Camp Randall. I'll tell you what, we'll take one more break, come back with more. The phone lines are open. Give us a call right now on WSAU.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I'm at a local golf course to talk Gold Bond powder with the Phillips foursome. You guys look uncomfortable.
Man, it's humid.
My shirt's stuck to my back.
My feet are funky.
And I'm itchy in all the wrong places.
I've heard enough. Phillips foursome, relief starts now.
Good.
Gold Bond medicated body and foot powders are proven to relieve itch, odor, and wetness with that cooling, feel-good, refreshing kick.
Feels great. Itch-free, baby.
Couldn't be happier to hear that. Gold Bond powder. Relief starts now.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This fall, every Badgers football fan is dreaming of roses. This Saturday, follow the Wisconsin Badgers on their march to the Rose Bowl on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
The Badgers kick off Saturday against UMass. Game coverage at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Back here in the studio, I'm Tom King along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates. Still a few minutes left. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call here, 715-845-2155.
All right, the title of the article is called How Low Will It Go? And I'm going to do my best here. It's about the rupee. How was that? It's not Indian at all?
No. Well, sort of.
Well, hey, I watched Homer Simpson. That's where I learned it from the cashier. You know, something we want to look at, and every once in a while there's something that pops into my eye that I want to look at and go, huh. makes me kind of think, and that is the emerging markets as far as India goes. As we certainly know, the subcontinent of India has got a ton of people on it, all kinds of languages and so forth, and they all, of course, want to do better and grow more in the world, and certainly from an engineering standpoint and that whole bit, fantastic, but just so many bodies and people over there. So their emerging markets have been having a real rough time. Quite honestly, the reason for it is because the dollar to the rupee level, of course, their level of the rupee has got to one of its worst times or worst prices as far as dropping down as it has in years and years and years. And so it popped up to me, and the reason I'm saying this, I guess, is these are some of the things that make me think and go, what's happening over in India that I need to know about? So the Indian Reserve Bank has stepped in to stem the decline and to straighten out, help support the rupee and try to make its price leveled out. So my question is why is the rupee dropping and what's happening for emerging markets over there? And that's one of the things I'll be looking at to see if there's going to be any sort of a benefit for, of course, not only clients but myself as well. What's going on with the rupee? And what do we need to know about what's happening inside of India? You know, the one thing we always want to look at, folks, is wherever there's bodies, there's going to be some sort of a needs for goods and services. And if something's happening that the price is dropping or something's happening that way, we try to understand why is it that it's going bad? Is it something that's repairable? And is there an advantage for us to go in? Did it become a value or did it go on sale? So a challenge we can certainly have is let's find out what's happening with the rupee.
Another country that people always look at is China as well, and there are some things happening in China that people need to take a look at as well. As far as their market is doing some things that actually might help us down the road here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have people? Are there places you go for information when it comes to foreign markets and foreign stocks? Somebody that specializes in that, a newsletter, a website, somewhere where you go where you can get the information you need on places that you're maybe not that familiar with overall?
I use the Internet because the Internet can't lie.
That's right. Everything we see on the Internet is true. Uh-huh.
Here's some really neat stuff, folks. Let me let you in on a little bit of cheating area that you can actually do as an individual or even if you're a financial advisor out there and you want to learn some information. Let's say I want to start buying some stocks in China. Now, I want to learn about China information and that whole bit. All I have to do is to find a good China mutual fund that's out there. Because the one thing about mutual fund managers, they're like financial advisors. You get them talking, they'll just keep talking. And so you get the information. It's kind of a joke for myself. So a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can go into the mutual fund, some sort of a China mutual fund or global fund that's got a lot of China. And you can get a lot of information from them to find out what's going on. Because they'll tell you what's going on. So from that, then coupled with going into the Internet and finding out what's happening from an economic standpoint, just Googling, economy China, you're going to get a whole bunch of information. I'd really only look at the stuff that's from the last few weeks old. From that, looking at the information, you can start building a picture as far as, is this someplace that I want to be specifically, or do I want to let some sort of a mutual fund manager do that for me only? Now, the reason I say that, there's a lot of mutual fund families that are out there, and I'm just going to pick a name of a mutual fund, folks. I don't want you to go out and buy mutual funds in this family. I'm using this for an example. Fidelity Funds, which, of course, has got a million different mutual funds. They actually have country-specific mutual funds that you can buy. And I've had clients come in with country-specific mutual funds before, and I said, well, what are you learning about Chile? Well, nothing. I just heard on the radio that Chile was going to be good. Well, that's... You got to do a little bit more work in there. You got to do some digging in what's happening inside the country that may or not be great. Now, I happen to think that Chile's got some great options, and I'm just using that as an example. But, from it, for most of us, when we start looking at international investments, which, by the way, down the last few weeks, obviously, because of Syria in the international scene, especially for the global or European Union. But with that in case, if we start taking a look at these different places and countries, if we're not going to have the time to look at each of them individually, as we were just talking about with India, if we're not going to have time to look at it individually, we really need to use some sort of a global mutual fund that's going to take into account to all of them. Let those young kids that are out there, those 20 and 30-somethings that are getting paid a good wage to sit there and read nothing about Damascus and let them determine whether or not we want to be investing in Damascus. At this point, I'm guessing that's a zero, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But let them decide whether or not we're going to invest in the rupee, and let them decide if they're going to do that in the country. If you don't have time to do it yourself, let them go ahead and do so. But we look around. We can find information on individual companies and countries, and there are ways that can cheat. You can cheat on that. I don't know if it's cheating, or at least make it faster by going into various mutual funds
Shortcut.
That go into a specific area. Well, time savers, I like to say.
All right.
You can go into specific funds and get that information.
All right, one more thing here that popped up on MarketWatch this morning. August seeing the biggest ETF outflow in 3 years. The worst outflow month in more than 3 years for U.S. exchange-traded products, according to preliminary data from number one ETF provider BlackRock, Inc. Mm-hmm. U.S. ETFs saw $16.1 billion in redemptions through Thursday, representing the biggest outflow in 1 month since January of 2010. What does that mean?
I'm not sure exactly what it means, but I'm not surprised. First of all, let's back up. An ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's essentially a share that represents a basket of something. So originally, exchange-traded funds were done for primarily for commodity type of things or for things you couldn't intertrade or trade intraday. So with this, let's say you buy a silver ETF. That silver ETF might represent your share or your portion of, let's say, 100,000 ounces of silver. And I'm making this up entirely, but just to give you an example. So it represents that basket of items. So with that basket of items, as the price goes up and down, so then does your share of price or a share of the investment that you can trade like a stock on a daily basis. So if I didn't want my silver anymore, I could sell it to you, Tom, intraday. We don't have to worry about changing the exchange of the actual commodity itself. So with it then, ETFs on themselves have gotten somewhat weird because then pretty soon it's not a derivative of the actual silver, the basket of the actual silver, but now it becomes an ETF that represents just the miners of silver. And then pretty soon it's an ETF that represents just the futures of silver's contracts. Okay, so it just really got continually obliterated. That's probably not the term, but changed on a continual basis. So as a result of this then, when the marketplace started going up and started having just direct results of just being in a straight basic type of a mutual fund, things that people understand, I'd actually made the statement to some colleagues and friends that said, geez, the ETF market's got to hate this because they don't have to make stuff up to make money anymore because the market's going to go up by itself. And now that it is, we predicted there would be some outflows because people want some simplicity inside of their life. Not only that, but I think some of the ETFs are so leveraged and bizarre that
One commenter on the story underneath says, I suggest that folks are just realizing that most ETFs suck. XPI has been pretty darn good, but most they are trading vehicles and not long-term holdings. That's the outflow.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, ETFs, this is the reason I say for gold and silver, even on this program. You know, if you're going to trade, buy, and sell silver, for example, and this is the example we've used, I would use an ETF because it's something you get in and out of. If you want to hold it for 10 years, buy the bullion. It's the same exact thing. ETFs are, in my opinion, are a fad or a tool that are used for trading. And for a bulk of investors, unless you own a bunch of stocks and bonds individually and you're a trader, an ETF may not be the thing. That being said, I'd actually had some clients come into my office and say, you know what, I want to sell some of the stuff out of my portfolio and I want to start investing instead of ETFs. And I said, in what? So I think I want to invest in an ETF of the S&P 500. I said, well, why don't you just buy the S&P 500? What does the ETF have to do with it? Well, it's faster. Well, maybe, but why don't you just buy the S&P 500 unless you're trading it intraday? And so people just don't understand that ETFs just are
getting represents. It's the new hot thing, and I want to be involved in it.
Exactly. You got it right on the head.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time here for today. If folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
Well, we'll be on vacation.
All right. How about Tuesday?
Perfect. if you want to get a hold of us on Monday or Tuesday or any other day, we just get a hold of us. We're on 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street here in Wausau. Stomp on in, see if you can catch us for a cup of coffee. Give us a call locally, 715-849-3600, outside of the Wausau area at 866-355-5100, or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
We'll see you next week, brother.
That's Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. And a programming note for you today, no polka shows because Badger football is coming up. Badger game day beginning just a couple of minutes here. And then tonight it's Brewer baseball, the Brewers and the Angels for Miller Park. Pregame show for that coming up at 5:35 this evening. It's all right here on your home for Badger football and Brewer baseball, WSAU.
There's a part of our world that we pay